Praise the Lord. All right. We are going to start. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your presence here with us. We open our heart, Lord, to you and to your word. Lord, use it to minister to us, to, Lord, touch our hearts, transform them, Lord, according to your ways, that we may be able to receive everything that you have done for us, Lord. Lord, that we may know what to do, our part, because, Lord, you already have done everything that needed to be done. And we just praise you and thank you for that. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. That's okay. Otherwise. All right. Now, we have been talking about our relationship or the importance of our relationship with God. I want to show some things this morning about that, how important that is, and the difference between having a relationship with God and being just being religious. You know, that's the things that is more deceiving, because it's fake relationship with him. And we have to understand the differences and the impact that that's going to have on us. I hope to be able to cover some aspect of that, seeing what happened in the past and what we can expect today from that. Okay. God wants a personal relationship with everyone. Everyone. Saints, sinners, everyone. They may not know it. They may cut them off. But that doesn't make any difference. He still wants to connect with them. And he tries everything possible to get across. And he just doesn't do just by himself. He even uses people to do that, to facilitate the thing, because most of the people are close to actually connect with God personally. Because they don't understand. They can't understand spiritual things. They are not, they don't have any experience that way. And they've been trained by the world system to think in a way that is non-spiritual. So they naturally respond in an essential way through their senses to the environment that they are around, and they close themselves up to hear what God is talking to them, what God is saying to them. If you didn't listen to the video that I put yesterday on YouTube, go and listen to it, because that's the beginning of this series, if you want, and has to do with knowing God. Okay, our relationship with God does not depend on God. Depends on us. The way we respond to his wanting to connect with us. So it's really the part we have, okay, is that we have to want and be open and slowly grow in that experience and understanding. It just doesn't happen overnight, just like any other relationship. Okay, you don't meet somebody and start talking to them and you have a relationship with them. You know, you don't know them very much. You may like them or not like them, depending on your initial reactions. And so from those feelings come up the way you are going to respond to them. Okay. generally with God, the thing is slightly different because you don't see God. Okay. If you have ear to hear, you're going to hear him, but most of the people are blocked. They are hard of hearing on their spiritual ears. So they're not going to be able to get very far until they get some of the spiritual wax out of their ears. Are you still with me? Okay. See, religion is a fake relationship with God. It's based only on the external things. You cannot have a relationship with God based on external things because God is a spirit. You don't connect with God through physical things because he is a spirit and he made you with a spirit so that you can connect with him. Otherwise, you couldn't. So you are operating on the same space, on the same dimension, which is the spiritual dimension. This is why Jesus said to the woman at the well, okay, time is coming when, you know, they will worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay, it's not the fake operation that the religion is, which is not really God's way of doing things because it's man's invented or developed approach to connect with God. And that doesn't get us anywhere. We had to connect with him at his level. And that was true from the beginning. Before there was any religion established, before there was any Bible written, you know, God communicated with people on a one-to-one basis, starting with Adam, especially with Adam at the beginning, before he fell. Okay. There was an ongoing relationship with each other. You know, he was walking with God in the garden and there communicating with him. He was, you know, God wasn't just there talking nonsense or, you know, about the weather. He was training him. He was teaching him. He told him, he instructed him of things to do and not to do. The things that he should be doing and developing and implementing and, you know, controlling on the world. He was the one, the gardener of the garden. Okay, which involved everything here. But evidently, you know, Adam didn't pick up enough because when he was tempted, he fell out of his own will. Okay. Now, God knew it before he even started anyway, but the point is still, okay, that situation broke the relationship. And as soon as that relationship, you know, was broken, Adam started feeling uncomfortable about the presence of God. So he started hiding from God because he felt guilty. He felt fear. He knew that he got himself in trouble. And that kind of separation wasn't coming from God. It was coming from Adam. Because God went out, they say, as the word says, looking for him. Adam was hiding. So who was trying to connect? Amen? So Adam had broken God's principle. You know, the law, if you want, the commandment that God had given him, he just was sin. It was sinner. It was a sinner. And God went out a sinner to try to help him. Hello? You know, nothing is changed with God. Anybody that wants can connect with him. But there are some conditions, some principle. And, you know, at that time, even, you know, temporarily, God gave him some temporary situations or temporary things that he had to do, but he had in plan to resolve the situation once for all. And now, theoretically, is resolved with Jesus coming, okay, but it's not completely fixed because of a number of things. But we have to remember that at the beginning, the patriarch of those days, they had the relationship with God, at least the one that, you know, were following God. And that relationship was good, was better than many people do today because had an impact on them. You know, I was trying to figure out if anybody understood why they lived so many hundreds of years. They found out lots of excuses. I can't find one reason, good reason, anybody came up with. The only reason why they lived that long is because they had a relationship with God that was so strong that God's power was working in their life. I can prove that because of the scriptures. You know, all the things that I read, even theological books, they came up with their interpretation, their application. They shouldn't have gone that way. They should have only gone to the Bible and found out what the Bible says. And the Bible is very clear about that, and I hope that I have the time to cover it up today. Now, you know, the relationship was so good that Enoch, when he was 365 years old, was taken up with God because he was doing what? Walking with God. That's what the Bible says. What does it mean he was walking with God? You cannot walk with somebody if you are not connected in communication, can you? So he was evidently being connected in communication, you know, the same way as Adam did. Even if he was a descendant of Adam. Because he was following God's direction to establish a temporary solution to the problem. And he was obedient and open and God was there, and he was there with him. And he went, you know, 365, he left, went up with God, didn't even die. I mean, that is anticipation of what's going to happen in the future, but that's okay. The idea is, though, that I believe on a basis of a number of scriptures that I'm possibly going to pull out today, okay, that was the reason why they lived that long. Wasn't because, the fall was just passed, not for many years. Spiritual stuff, time is immaterial. One day or 1,000 days, the same thing. So don't tell me, you know, because that was close to the time when Adam was in garden. And that was influence. The influence, you know, Jesus' death on the cross was 2,000 years ago. And his impact is good for us today after 2,000 years like it would be today. So all those things are excuses of men. They don't understand what they're talking about. And they think with their own head and come out with their own doctrines instead of getting from the Bible what the Bible says so that they can make some deduction and apply it to themselves. Because when you make that kind of a thinking, you know, the fact that they live 300 years or 400 years or 800 years doesn't make any difference to you. But when you understand how they lived that long and why, well, you can use it. Are you getting me? Okay? So, to me, God doesn't change. That's what the Bible says. To me, if something worked before, it works today the same way if we create the same conditions. So, you know, the whole thing became less and less, okay, until it was more or less like today. Because people got so immersed in the world system that their way of thinking and reasoning had been affected by the way of thinking of the philosophy of man and ideas, so that everything was bound by their logic and their senses. That's not a way to get anywhere spiritually. Unless you depart from your logic, miracles are not logical. If you are a logical person, the probability for you to get the miracle has to be really a miracle. You know what I mean? Okay. Why? Because our mind blocks, okay, the ability for the power of God to move from our spirit through our heart, through our body. And we had to learn to unblock the passage there so that the power of God is really operating. They come from the Spirit. That's the thing we had to learn to do, to allow the Spirit and the power of God. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead quicken your mortal body. All right? So it's the same Spirit operating. It's not our power, it's not our thinking, it's not our imagination, it's not all these other things. It's the Spirit of God that has to be released. And for that to happen, our heart has to be open to that. That means, you know, the bottom line, you know, we have to train ourselves not to be bound by the logic of the world. We are educated to get nothing. And we had to, you know, become uneducated to be able to get something. That means to educate ourselves in a different way, but to educate yourself in a different way, you had to demolish what was built before. I'm not going to be able to do half of the things I want to do today. I already see it, but that's okay. The idea is that, you know, we can see later on with Moses. Moses was just like everybody else and, you know, was thinking the way the world thought. And because he was trained there, although he had some, you know, some scripture, evidently he knew he was a Jew, he was, you know, and so he took some steps. But the steps that he made through his worldly thinking just got him in trouble. Okay? He had to run away. And he didn't do too well. He had to run away and go in the desert, and they stayed for 40 years in the desert looking after sheep. You know, wasn't too exposed to the world in that situation. He had lots of time to think, lots of time to meditate on what he knew. And that time alone, see, being a shepherd in those days was a pretty good thing because, you know, you were alone in the fields with your sheep, with the dogs there looking after them, and you were doing nothing, just enjoying yourself and looking at the star. Pretty good job. Okay. So what he was there doing exactly that for 40 years. Doing nothing but looking at the stars And looking at those sheep that he was saluting, weren't even his sheep. Okay. And what happened? He had an experience. He had the burning bush experience. And he, when he had that experience, you know, he saw something there that was strange. And I'm not going to read, otherwise we are going to be there for another 2 months. You know, he saw something strange and he looked because he saw something strange. You know, this bush that was burning, it wasn't being consumed. And he said, let's go and see what's going on there. See, he opened up himself to these things that was completely illogical from a point. It wasn't burning, it was burning. Okay? And he, that gave him a chance to make a connection with something that was supernatural. It was God. You know the story. But see, that was the first connection that he had with God. Didn't have any before. But evidently, he had two things with himself already. He had the desire to do the right thing because he was, you know, knowing the history of the Jews. He took a position. He did stupid thing about going and kill the Egyptian. But the point is, that's the only thing that people in the world do. Even when they try to do something good, they blotch it because they don't understand the truth and spiritual things. They cannot do well because their thinking is against the way God thinks. Okay. But he had that experience, and so God started to communicate with them, and there is where the communication, the relationship started. And God didn't stop talking to Moses when he left the bush. That was the beginning. You see, you need a beginning experience to start a relationship with somebody. Anybody. If you don't meet the person and you start talking with them and there is some kind of a spark there to connect, the whole thing stops right there. You go your way and there is no communication, there is nothing. But if the communication continues and there is a desire for that relationship, then you can work on it and that relationship is going to grow. There is nothing different between our relationship with God and our relationship with somebody else. It grows as we work toward that, as we want it, and as we open ourselves up, and as we have a mutual benefit from that relationship. You know, if you connect with somebody that you like and then you find out that he's a pain, it doesn't last very long. Why? Because you cut it off. I mean, it's what for? You know, if you want to communicate with somebody, you want somebody that is mutually beneficial. You know, I mean, God, what we can do for God is minimal, but evidently is not that small, because God really cared about it to the point to establish that relationship with us, to send his son to die for us. So he cares, and he cared from the beginning, and he created us for that purpose so that he could have not just himself, myself and I, you know, just everybody, you know, just the Trinity of the Holy Spirit communicating for eternity by themselves. He wanted a bunch of other people, a bunch of other brothers with Jesus to communicate with them. Okay? So he cared so much that he did everything he could in his justice, at the same time, because God cannot be unjust, cannot be unfair, cannot be evil. Okay, in his goodness. Okay, and Jesus, this is why, you know, Moses had a relationship with God and had a continuous relationship with God all his life. Every time that the children of Israel were making a mess, he would go to God to talk, you know, what do I have to do with these crazy people? And God would give him instruction, and sometimes, oh, I want to blow them out. No, 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 please don't. You see, he used Moses to be able to minister to them. So that he was going on his basis, you know, at that time, you know, the only thing he could do was go through what Jesus, what Moses was asking him to do. Okay? But they paid the price for their lack of relationship, because when God wanted to communicate with them personally, called them up and wanted to communicate, oh, we are afraid, don't want to talk with you. Just talk to Moses, he's talked to us. That's the wrong way. How kind of a relationship you have with anybody through somebody else? You can have a communication with somebody, you know, a relationship with somebody else, because if somebody, you have an intermediary. That's ridiculous. Okay? And it doesn't work. That's not a relationship. This is, you know, a crazy arrangement. But that's crazy mentality of the world. You know, you do it. Moses is the one that can deal with you. Okay? And that wasn't good enough, because they messed it up too many times and they died in the desert. See, you cannot work through somebody else to connect with God if you want to get somewhere. You shouldn't, you know, today we shouldn't go through the priest to connect with God, because he's in the way. Okay? God wants to talk with you, direct you, and have a personal relationship with you. Personal, intimate relationship with God. That's what he wants from you. But you have to be willing to establish it, work on it, train so that you can learn how to do it, because for us it's unnatural. There are so many things in the spirit world that we do not understand. Lots of people pray and pray in the flesh, and they're really not connecting with God. They're just, you know, maybe minimally sometime. Just if somebody prayed to talk to God, you know, and they have their ear close to hear him talking, they're not talking to anybody because they're shutting him off. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Unless there is a two-way communication, there is no relationship. So what do you mean that you're hearing from God? Are you better? Because Adam and all the other ones following that were living for a long time, they had a relationship with him, because otherwise they didn't have any Bible. So how do they knew about him? Because it was something else told them about him, or because they were connected with him? I mean, Enoch, to be even walking with him. How do you walk with somebody? You know, you don't walk with a bunch of 50 people or 100 people. You just one-to-one, you walk together. Are you still there? Okay, so the idea is there has to be that personal, intimate relationship, and we have to develop that in such a way that is going to start producing results. That means, you know, you are talking with him, and he's talking back to you. Say, well, how do I know that it's him? You know, has a different voice. No, sounds like just exactly like you. Sometime may even have a different voice. But, you know, the thing is, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. How do the sheep know the voice of the shepherd? Because they're together all the time. And he talks to them. And he, you know, shout at them, go, 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 or whatever. And direct them in the right things. Okay? That's the way God talks to us. When we go in the wrong direction, say, go, and try to put us in the wrong, the right direction. Sometimes not just go, but just can be very explicit and can talk for hours. The way he did with Moses. If he did it with Moses, why shouldn't be doing it with you? I mean, you have a better probability for that to happen than Moses had. Because Moses didn't have the Bible and didn't have all the other qualifications that if you are a believer today, you should have. Okay? Because there are some reasons, and we have a Bible too. I mean, you know, that by itself should be a pretty good map to follow to find where God is. Okay? So, see, the thing is, Jesus came to reestablish that relationship. And he explained it very clearly. You know, even, you know, talk to Nicodemus, Jewish or leader there on the Sanhedrin. And, you know, was so spiritual, this leader, they didn't understand anything of what Jesus was talking about. I mean, not spiritual, it was just some the opposite. You understand what I mean. Okay. See, the thing is, we had to be born of the Spirit. That's, see, I prefer, you know, really say born of the Spirit and born again, because a born again doesn't tell how you are born. You can be born again in many different ways. You are born of the Spirit and the water. It's a different story. Okay? So that's the first thing. And then, plus after Jesus left, you know, send the Holy Spirit to us. So we have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside us. If you got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, those should be two experiences like, you know, the parallel Moses experiences, but actually are much more powerful because he wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. So we should be communicating with God at a much more intimate, with better understanding, in a more practical way to get results even more than what he did. If we just come close to that relationship that God wants to have with us. And the only thing it depends on is us. We have to be willing to train ourselves, to take the steps, to give ourselves to that relationship. You know, you get married and you never see your wife, there is no relationship there. Or your husband is the same thing. Okay, you need to cultivate the relationship. People, you know, live together for 50 years, you know, in the beginning, but after they get used to each other, they don't even communicate anymore. And the marriage breaks down. There is to be, you have to cultivate the relationship. And it's the same thing with God. I mean, this is why what happens when people are born again at the beginning, they're all in fire for God or spirit filled. And then, you know, the time passes by and they cool down and they just live just like the world. Why? Because they did not really have, they just had an experience, but they didn't understand. Nobody told them that they should continue to have a relationship with God, not just going to church. And not just doing Bible study, because even Bible study is not enough. Bible study is going to be useful only when you start communicating with God, because, you need the Holy Spirit. Communicating with God or the Holy Spirit is the same thing. It's the Holy Spirit that brings you revelation of what you're reading, that makes you real for you so that you can start applying it. The problem is not sometimes, knowing the scriptures. People sometimes, the Jews knew the scriptures. Didn't do any good to them. Jesus came and they didn't even accept it and they didn't recognize him. So what good was them? They knew, most of the Old Testament by heart. So, you know, you could ask a scripture, boop, they'll give it to you. You know, place and everything else. And actually, you don't need that. The word says that the Holy Spirit is going to bring you to your remembrance. Praise the Lord, because I don't know everything by heart. But I don't need to. Because when I need it, the Holy Spirit brings it to my remembrance, and automatically I get it. You're still with me? All right. Now, see, there are two scriptures that about that relationship that are very important. Okay. Matthew 22:29. Which says, you know, that Jesus was talking to the Jews and they didn't understand anything about spiritual stuff and said, you know, you err, you are wrong because you don't know the scripture, never the power of God. Well, they knew the scripture in their own interpretation, but they didn't know the scripture and how to apply it because they didn't know the power of God. You need those two things together to be able to get results. And to be able to understand the truth. Because otherwise, what you end up getting is developing theories and interpretation. And, you know, and Peter said very clearly, you know, that we cannot, the Bible is not open, the scriptures are not open to public or personal interpretation. But was anointed, and when God spoke, he had an intention, and we had to get his intention. There is only one intention, not 25 different interpretations. Okay. So that's what we had to get. But we cannot get it by analysis. Analysis produces spiritual paralysis. What we need is the Holy Spirit revelation that gives us the truth, then we don't need to look around anymore. And when you see all these different theories, you say, forget it. You don't know what you're talking about. Why? Because the truth set you free. The truth has power. The truth is evident in itself and is congruent with everything else in the Bible. Okay. So, that's the first scripture. So, we need the power and the scriptures. We are much better than the Old Testament because they didn't have the scriptures as we have, at least at the beginning, and they had a great relationship. They lived for so many long years. Okay? Not only that, but you see, Moses that had a personal relationship, he lived to 120. And then, you know, died, but because he missed it. And so, you know, but God protected him and took his body anyway. But that's another story. But the idea is Moses had a relationship and had a long life. Okay? But he had been immersed in the world because the Egypt was the world. Okay? So, the other scripture is Psalm 103, verse 6. It said, you know, that that God taught his way to Moses and his, you know, showed his way to Moses and his acts or his works to the children of Israel. You see, just seeing what God is doing supernaturally is not enough. You have to know the way God works to be effective in your life. You can be in an environment in which the Jews were. They saw all the stuff, but they didn't have the ability, the understanding, to take a position and not to fall all the time in the same stupid mistakes that they were doing all the time, complaining and doing and blaming God and doing all these other things and looking for trouble. You see, because you cannot have the strength, the spiritual strength inside you to do the right thing unless you have that relationship with him. This is where the strength, that's where the understanding, that's where the power is released and is operating inside you. You want the power? Don't try to work yourself up in a frenzy, because that's flesh. I on purpose don't make up a big fuss when I pray for people, because they don't need that. That's flesh. Jesus didn't need to do that. He didn't need 2 hours of worship and jumping around to get people healed. He didn't even have musicians. I don't need musicians. I don't need to be worked up, because it's not in the flesh. In ourselves, we can do zilch, nothing. Okay. So, but Moses knew his way, so God's way, and so he could operate and he could release God's power and get results, okay? So, we saw the benefits of, knowing God. That was described, in Psalm 103, the first few verses. I mean, they touched every area of our life. On that same, they weren't coming from being religious. They weren't coming by going to the temple. They were coming by the relationship that somebody had with God to minister to them. Okay? So when there was that relationship, people want to receive from God. And they had to do things in the flesh to receive from God. And they end up wasting lots of time and getting nowhere. They think that by praying a certain number of, fasting a certain number of times, is going to get it. No, that's Old Testament thing. I mean, yeah, you can do that because, you separate yourself. But really, you separate yourself to connect with God. If you go around fasting, like I did when I was a baby Christian, I spent lots of days fasting and everything else, now I'm better off without fasting than for the way I was fasting. Now, I fast now, I just don't need to do it such a long fast, because I get results, more results in one day than those days for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Why? Because I'm not wasting my time playing religion, and at that time I did not understand, because the only thing I got is what I got taught. Is the relationship. See, that's why, people say, seek the healer, not the healing. It sounds like, it's true. But if you don't understand why, doesn't make any sense. Seek the healer means, you seek the relationship with God. The other one comes. You don't need to be there begging God for anything. God doesn't like beggars. God likes kings and priests. Amen. Amen. Sons and daughters. Well, there are lots of things that I know, but this is sons and daughters relate to him, so this relationship that's good too. But the idea is that a son can be a wimp and do the wrong thing. Okay, can leave the father, and go with the pigs. That's right. So that's what I said, why I said that. So the idea is this, okay? The God, when we have that relationship with God, the only thing that come out from us is not, God, please help me, I'm drowning. No. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Why? Because you have a relationship. You know what's going on. You know that you can depend on him. You know that you can trust him. You cannot trust God if you are not connected with him. You know, all those scriptures say, trust God, trust God, trust God. You cannot do it. You cannot trust God in your abilities, in your flesh. Trusting God comes out of your spirit, out of the relationship you have with him. Because he can prove himself over and over again that he's somebody that can be trusted. But unless you have that experience, you can say, oh, I trust the Lord. And at the end, you're afraid. Now what's going to happen next? That's not trusting God. If you trust God, okay, you're going around with the conviction that if God is for me, who can be against me? I don't care. Let's see it. All right, so, and that's why this psalm says what it says, you know, and we read it, but I had to go back there because this is such a good psalm, you know, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You see, if you forget his benefit, you have no base to trust him. But you trust your benefit is not just because it's written in the Bible, it's because you have experienced the benefit that the Bible promised. Because why? Because you had a relationship with him. Okay? And it touched everything. Who forgives my iniquity? Start from right there. You know, when I blew it, I can get forgiven. You have to know how you do about getting forgiven. It doesn't say everything here. You see, one scripture doesn't tell the whole truth. Tell one aspect of the truth because you cannot put everything. The whole Bible says the truth. Otherwise, it's only reflections of truth or projections of truth. Okay? That are limited. Who forget all his, forgive all my iniquities. Who heal all your diseases, my diseases. So, you know, you had to believe that. But you are not going to believe that, you know, starting with a big thing, because the big things affect all your thinking and your mind. You start with small things. That's why, you know, Müller said it very clearly, I start with socks for the children, the orphanages, and, you know, and to believe in God for that, and then more and more I can get developing my faith. Why? Because you have that relationship with God established over and over again through the situation, through the dealing that God had with you and you had with God, in which you hold on and you learn to develop your faith because it's the result of all the things that you experienced about God, not something that somebody else said that is true. And, you know, you have no evidence whatsoever that is the truth and that you can depend on it because all the time you try to do it, you fell right on your face. Why? Because you didn't have a relationship and you went up going about something that somebody else said. Okay. Who redeem my life from destruction and, you know, crown me with loving kindness and tender mercy. You see, this is the things that we had to experience. Who satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagle. So you see, the idea is, my youth is renewed. I mean, that relationship brings about renewal of life. Life. Healing, energy, power, victory in all the areas. And then goes on and says, you know, this applies to everybody. Who execute righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. So, you know, he does what is the right thing to do as much as he can. Because his hands are held in some cases because there are things that the person has to do. Okay, but he's trying to push as much as he can in your favor. So he's going to find excuses, legal excuses to help you. But he cannot break justice because he's just. But he's loving you to the point that he's going to try to do anything he can, including sending Jesus to die for you. Okay? So that's the way we had to start seeing him. That's the way we had to start experiencing him. Okay? Okay. May God make sure that all the benefits, okay, that are legally possible, you're going to get. Okay. All right. So, this benefit, okay, are all for everybody. There is no difference for anything. He deals the same way with everybody. Doesn't matter what you're coming from, where you're going, what your past or the present, the whole same principle are applied because it's just and fair. Okay? And we had to experience that. Okay. Now, in the Old Testament, they had a relationship with God, and they walked with him, and they weren't influenced, some of these people, so much by the worldly experience. You know, there are all these years of development of mentality, of man's philosophy that affect our way of thinking. The way we grew up in school system and everything else, the world, society thing, you know, you think about saying that God talks to you and they look at you and say, this guy is cooking. Okay. Yeah, sure. So you had to remove that kind of bondage from your thinking, because otherwise you're not going to get anywhere. Or you're going to get with this Christian religion that is powerless and doesn't get anything. All right? That's why that happens, because they still want to hold on to the logic of man. When instead, God will expect us to start thinking at the spiritual level, in which one of the things that the word says is all things are possible to them that believe. All things are possible with God. Okay? So, and we have to understand what that means and how to apply that. Okay? Now, God's communication and promise did not change with the law when the law was established by Moses. You know, even the law was nothing else than a verbalization of some things, of some truth that they hold on. The thing is, we don't need it because we should operate on a higher level. Okay? But they are still valid. You know, and you look, for example, in Deuteronomy 30 and 29 and 30, says very clearly, establish some rule. Okay? Establish some principle. And these are the what God spoke. And he spoke from the beginning. These are the principle of life, if you want, the principle of operation, just the same way as the physical laws that he put in place, according to which there is no gravity, so you are not going to fly, you know, pick up and fly up, you know, on the roof. Or, you know, if you walk out of the roof, you break your neck. Now, if you break any of the physical law, you have consequences. Okay? If you run against the wall at 100 miles an hour and you break your neck, don't say, God, please, why did you do that law? Why are you so stupid to do something like that? Okay? You have to understand the law. You have to understand, you know, and there are laws in the physical world and there are laws in the spiritual world that are just as real, because the spiritual world is just as real as the physical world. Are you still following me? So we had to follow these laws. And he said, you know, if you obey my commandment, and he was, you see, these people were slow. spiritually slow. So they had all the commandments written down by Moses and so on, you know, the Ten Commandments and all the other old books and the books and books of principle and laws. You know, we have the Spirit. And all those things should be brought to us, just we should hear them. Okay, we shouldn't be doing stupid things that don't make any sense in the physical, but we, you know, well, we shouldn't be doing stupid things in the spiritual. But he said, if you follow my commandment, all this blessing will come upon you and it will overtake you. He doesn't say you are going to come to me. Please do heal me. No, all this blessing will come over you and overtake you. That means, you know, they're going to be faster than you ask. Why? Because you connect with him. The power of him is inside you, operating and producing the result without you doing any effort. You know, with God, there is no effort on our side. Our effort is just a question of sometimes we do it in the flesh and we end up getting nowhere, and we, until maybe sometime out of desperation, we give up. And so finally I said, finally you get out of the way. So, oh my goodness. So now, you know, that's why, you know, in Deuteronomy 30:20 says, you know, actually 30:19 started there. Okay, says, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you. You see, heaven and earth, I mean, these are the laws and the principles that operate in earth and on heaven. So they are spiritual and physical, okay? You know, earth to witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, then both you and your descendants may live. You know that they get it automatically. They had to follow the same thing too. Okay? And you had to make sure that they learn that when they're young. That's another story, but that's said in other scriptures. Okay, so, but he has given us free will. That means we can choose, and he's not going to stop us from doing the stupid things that the world does. Okay, he expects us to be smart enough to do and to follow his direction. Okay, and then goes on, you know, after this, you know, verse 20 says, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him. I mean, that seems to me like a relationship. Does it? Okay. For he is your life and the length of your days. Now, before, they had long time, you know, long days because they were connected with him. Now, the length is shrinked because the connection is decreased more and more. That's one of the many scriptures that says the same thing. Now say, well, you know, but we just don't know what to do many of the time. That's the problem. And so we get in trouble. But that is where Psalm 103 comes into the picture. Who forgive all our iniquities. So, you know, when there is a problem, we have to go to him and fix the mistake we make. Not only that, but believe in him and instead of blaming him for the problem. Because he's just. Now, you know, cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. So you see, the promise is that he give us all these benefits. That's why don't forget them. But you have to believe. And if you don't believe that he's given you those benefits, doesn't do any good. Because you had to actually experience, believe, you know, that it's true so that you can actually, are not there thinking, well, do I believe that he's going to forgive me? I mean, lots of people, you know, somebody tells them, well, you had to repent. Okay, they repent, but they don't believe they're forgiven. Doesn't do any good because they repented with their head instead of repenting with their heart. Other people, you know, Jesus' tribe were healed. Yeah. And they don't get healed. Well, maybe God doesn't want to heal you. Where do you find that in the Bible? How many times Jesus refused somebody that went to him to say, you know, ah, now you are too much of a sinner, you know, come back next week. He didn't even ask them to repent. He healed them and then says, go and sin no more, otherwise you get trouble. Are you still with me? I mean, sometimes we get so religious about the way things work, when instead, you know, we have to develop our relationship with God, because that's going to change everything in our life. You know, all those benefits, you know, you better memorize those and keep them in your mind, at least there to start with, so that they can get in your heart. And how you get them in your heart? Well, you start meditating them, number one, and you start experiencing them. When there is something coming up, instead of blaming God, go to God, says, you know, what's the problem here? You know, why is that happening? You know, sometimes small things the enemy use to put trouble in your way. You know, any trouble, something difficult, something doesn't work the way it should, just go to God, says, why? Tell me. What do I have to do? Instead of finding the solution and push your way through. Well, the pushing way through is going to get you just tired and probably get nowhere. And not get the option. God tells you, and you suddenly realize, oh, it's done. Are you still with me? Okay. See, we are going to get to a place, I hope, by the end of this series, in which I have repeated this, some of this concept enough time that they took roots inside your heart, because not in your head. So listen to the recording, the video later on, because you need to think about it, meditate about it, let it go down deep and take roots so that they cannot be uprooted by any little things that comes around. Oh my goodness. The righteous is as strong as a lion. And that's what our experience should be. Okay. But this is for everybody. You see, the thing is, these promises from Deuteronomy chapter 30 are said to people that are not born again and that are not really spiritually oriented. We should understand them better and see that they work for us just exactly the same way, but we are much better off. We should get, you know, more. It's not that they should overtake us, the blessings. You know, they just be there like that. The way we're for Jesus. And it will come the day when that's going to happen. And I believe that day is coming closely and fast, because we are coming to the time when he's coming back. I think I better close, because otherwise I'm going to get in trouble here. I don't think with God, but that's all right. All right. Let's pray together. Okay. Let's go before God and acknowledge all the love, so that you may love the Lord your God. See, the commandment of loving the Lord your God by itself doesn't make any sense. You cannot command somebody to love somebody else. It comes as a result of your experience that God is lovable. That God is good. And it's not because some priests or some, you know, minister or somebody else that thinks he knows everything are telling you. It's because you know yourself and you experience him and you knew him on a personal, intimate basis. Okay? So that's where we want to get. That's where I hope to get you closer than before, because, you know, just preaching up, even just preaching about that has an effect on me too. Okay, something I've known for a long time, but something I'm discovering now, you know, like why the patriarch lived so long. I never thought about it before. Okay. I'm convinced that that's the reason, because that's the reason it's repeated over with long life. Psalm 91. In Psalm 91 is something we should know, you know, if we need anything in the physical, you know, but the last words in there, with long life, I'll satisfy you. I like it. Okay, so in my salvation, that is, you know, also from a spiritual point of view, but really the salvation comes everywhere for everything. Let's close. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for today, for your word, for the truth to set us free. We believe it is in the word, has been established, so that we may love the Lord your God. And we just, Lord, want to trust you, want to believe your word. We accept your word as the truth, and we are going to put to work in our lives. And we thank you in advance for the experiences we are going to have. This is our burning bush experience that we are starting today, to know you in a personal, intimate way, as Moses did, and even better, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.